It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Today's episode of the Nick Bob Podcast is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors. If you're looking to install some new windows or a new door, a great place to start with Pella is their showroom. Sometimes it helps to see the windows and see the doors and open them and close them to get a better feel for exactly what you're installing in your home. Their showrooms are really cool. They got showrooms in Omaha and in Lincoln, so go check them out. Or you can check Pella out online at PellaOmaha.com. That's PellaOmaha.com. And the Nick Bob Podcast is brought to you by my good pals at Runza. I love it when I get these tweets. Cody tweeted at me and said this: hit up the Runza super secret menu today. Had pickles put on my Runza. Who'd have thought? Thanks, Nick. I love it, Cody. I love it. You need to take advantage of the super secret menu where you realize you can put anything within reason on a Runza. You want pickles like Cody? Go for it. You want ranch? Go for it. You want pepper jack cheese on your Runza? Go for it. Why? Because every Runza starts as an original Runza sandwich, so you can add anything in the kitchen within reason onto your Runza sandwich. Absolutely delicious. Get to Runza and make it your way. Exactly how you want it. Give it a try. Runza makes it all better. Okay, got another outstanding podcast on deck for you today. On the pod, Matt Abdelmassi, Nebraska basketball assistant coach, second time on the pod. He is basically the head recruiter for Fred Hoiberg, and he's really one of the most respected recruiters in all of college basketball. He's extremely tied in. He's a tireless worker, especially in the transfer world. And, you know, with Nebraska having a consensus top 20 recruiting class with five recruits and then two big transfers coming in as well, I wanted to get Matt on to give us an in-depth breakdown of all really seven newcomers and what we can expect from them, especially five-star recruit Bryce McGowan's, little brother of Trey McGowan's, who's the headliner of the class, big-time player, 6'6", silky smooth wing. I mean, just a really, really, really talented dude. So this was good, man. We get into the recruits with Matt, but we also take a look back on last year and all the struggles with COVID and how it impacted the team. And I loved his answer to this. I asked him who he tabs as the returner that needs to have a really, really big offseason. So you got five or so different returners. I said, who needs to have the biggest offseason? Thought his answer was really, really interesting. So Husker Hoops fans are going to absolutely love this, man. Matt has always been really good to me, so I think you guys are going to enjoy it, man. So let's get to it. Here is my podcast chat with Nebraska basketball assistant coach Matt Abdelmassi. Enjoy. On the line now, Matt Abdelmassi, Nebraska basketball assistant coach, second time on the podcast. Matt, welcome back. How you doing, my man?
I'm doing really well. I must have done a decent job the first time because I got invited back for a second time, but everything is going well and just happy to finally put a lot of what everyone's been going through the last year in the rearview mirror and looking forward ahead to a productive summer with our program and with our guys individually. And, definitely grateful to be in the position we are.
No doubt. I mean, I wanted to bring you on because there's a lot of different things I want to touch on with you, mainly a lot of the newcomers that, you guys got, I think, seven new guys coming in. But before we kind of look at the newcomers, I want to look back real quick because you're already kind of going there with it. I kept saying all last offseason, Matt, that like not all situations are the same in terms of how COVID impacts a team. Like, you guys really needed a regular offseason of workouts and practices last spring and summer, and you didn't get them. Like a team like Iowa, for instance, it hurts them, but when they're returning their entire core, their, three or four year guys that have been together in the system, all that stuff, it doesn't hurt them as bad. Where did you feel like not having a normal spring and summer with workouts and all that stuff hurt you guys in the season the most?
just overall practices. I mean, I think we had 60% less practices this past season than we had our first year. And it never can go unnoticed, although when you say it, it comes across as an excuse.
No,
we certainly don't want to come across that way. You play the games, you know, whether you're practicing, not practicing, and the results are what everybody sees, and that's what you're judged on. But for us internally, where it just was a major hurdle is just growing as a team, growing individually, just having those practices where there's camaraderie, which you know better than anybody. When you have new guys, the way that you're building that is in practice.
Right.
And learning about each other. Not only that, just camaraderie with the staff.
Right.
I mean, it's very hard for the staff to have any type of relationship with the guys because, one, they're not coming up to your office. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not spending time with them there. You're not spending time with them eating meals. And on top of it, you're really not spending time with them in practice because you just didn't have as many. So just overall chemistry, you know, really hurts you. And the one thing that we were really proud of is with all the adversity that we did hit, it speaks volume to the character of the guys with how they battled post-COVID shutdown for us, because we legitimately were in, I would say, the majority of every single game where you had a shot to win. And that speaks to the type of kids that we do have in our program and what we're really excited about.
Yeah, because the thing that's cool is you guys are playing your best basketball at the end of the year. And there's a lot of there's a lot of guys that maybe would have, you know, thrown in the towel, whether it's COVID, whether it's not winning. And you guys certainly weren't doing that. I want to get inside that, though, for a second, because how did you guys keep the guys confident and pushing forward when the wins and all those readily accessible excuses maybe weren't there? Like, is it as simple as being process-oriented and not results-oriented? Because that had to have been really, really hard for you guys.
So for us, I always say that Fred's strongest skill set as a head coach and leader is his ability to get across to guys to make them feel like they're superheroes and nothing can get in their way. It's better than him drawing a play out of a timeout, which he's elite. It's better than his offensive schemes, which is elite. His ability to make guys feel like they can accomplish anything if they put their mind to it is, to me, what really separates him. I saw it in our years at Iowa State. Guys always played above their weight class. And I think that's what it was, is that it just took a while for guys to learn about Fred, learn about the program. And we saw that towards the end of the year where offensively, we saw for the first time since we've been at Nebraska what a Fred Hoiberg offense looks like.
Right.
And a lot of that has to do with the unselfishness that is preached on a daily basis throughout our program. And we saw that our assist numbers were phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Our shooting percentages were phenomenal. Those last seven games of the year, you know, offensively, we were one of the best offensive teams in the league. And you know, the thing that you can't teach is experience. And I really do feel like the experience of losing so many close games battling is going to give our guys the motivation this offseason, knowing how close we are. They're a very, very motivated group. The day we got back from Indianapolis from the Big Ten tournament, they legitimately were ready to work because they could feel it. Kobe Webster, the single reason why he came back, because he had no intentions of coming back. Me and him had plenty of conversations. He felt it.
Right.
We're there.
Right.
We are right there. So I would say that's the biggest thing is of course, the process.
Sure.
I mean, one of the most overused words, of course.
Right.
The trust the process with the Sixers.
Yep.
All that stuff.
Yep.
But it is.
It's true.
Like when you are building, there is no exact science for what the daily battles you're going to face.
Mm-hmm.
And where it is important is when you have a plan, you don't panic. It's people that don't have a plan that panic.
Right.
And for us, people always talk about how we handle ourselves, specifically Fred and the media, where there's always a sense of calmness because we're not panicking. We fully believe in what we're building and where we're headed. And, you know, we were dealt a really bad set of cards where, you know, we had the worst set at the table. And, you know, it's going to take some time to do that. And we feel like going into year three, we have that momentum.
Can you, you know, you talk about the bad set of cards. I mean, one of those, and you kind of hit on it already, was getting the COVID pause in the season. I mean, you're out for a month. You know, I mean, almost everyone on your team gets it. I always tell people, I remember when I was playing, I would go home for Christmas for like 2 or 3 days. And when I would get back, that first practice, my lungs are burning, my legs are burning. Like, that's 2 or 3 days, Matt, of not really being in practice. You guys, it was almost the better part of a month of not really being on the floor and hitting it hard. Everyone from the outside, Matt, was like, oh, COVID pause, it's hard. And then they kind of move on to the next thing. It's like, no. It's ridiculously hard. Can you kind of get us inside your program during that time, just how hard it was going through that month of where you guys were off?
Yeah, I mean, it was a week of just constant gut punches where we had a minimum of 2 guys that tested positive for over 7 straight days. And it was constant gut punches where you get a text message that this person tested positive. Of course, you know, for me personally, testing positive, you know, just the whole deal for 20 plus days was extremely challenging and doesn't get talked about. Is when a guy is on campus, a player is on campus, and specifically for me, there's a level of responsibility that you have to care for those kids. Mm-hmm. And when you recruit them like I do, you know, that strong relationship and bond is something where you want to be there for them, especially if they're in quarantine for 10 days.
Right.
But Nick, I'm battling it myself.
I don't
even have the stamina to have a 2-minute conversation with somebody because, I mean, I got hit hard. I still don't have any taste or smell. And I had it in January. And that was very challenging, dealing with these guys mentally and getting them in a place where we're going to be able to overcome this. We're going to be fine. We're going to play games again. Because there was a fear, like, well, what's going to happen? We might not play games.
Right.
This might be it. You know, we don't even know if we'll have enough guys to come back if they don't get cleared properly through all the protocols set in place by the conference. So the challenging part was the mental makeup.
Right.
You know, Fred had it. Fred was in bad shape for a few days. You know, he's the head coach, and he's having to worry about his own condition, pre-existing conditions that he has while battling COVID, but at the same time caring for the 9+ kids that are in quarantine. And listen, when kids aren't in quarantine, it's difficult to manage them, let alone when you're locked up in a room and you're literally being told you cannot leave.
Right. Yeah.
It's very, very challenging.
Brutal. I couldn't imagine. I just wanted to, you know, it's one thing to think about it or hear about it from the outside looking in. I wanted to get some perspective on the inside because it's crazy, man. The Nick Bob Podcast is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors. And I want to talk to you guys about energy efficiency. And if you go onto Pella's website right now, you look at it. And how about this? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different types of windows or doors. By Pella, won the Energy Star 2020 Most Energy Efficient Award. That's big time stuff right there. And they achieved that in a couple of ways. They got insulated glass, which slows the heat transfer, keeping your home at a more comfortable temperature. They got types of low E glass, which is a glass coating that has been optimized for your climate. They got triple pane glass, which you can upgrade to for increased insulating airspace. And within all of that, one of the keys is proper installation, which is key for window and doors to perform at their best. And you know the Pella experts are excellent at that. Bottom line, energy efficiency matters in making your home more comfortable, and Pella Windows and Doors are at the top of the line when it comes to energy efficiency. Check them out online, PellaOmaha.com. That's PellaOmaha.com. So you bring up Kobe and him coming back. I can't imagine in your time at Iowa State that you ever had a scenario where you were returning more of your scoring. You know, you know, and you guys, what's interesting is just 2 years, you go from probably having the least amount of continuity in returning scoring to a ton of it with Trey and Banton and Lat and Kobe and Derek Walker and Eduardo Andre all coming back. Like, enormously important to get those guys to stay. Which of those returners, Matt, do you maybe kind of circle as like, we need a real, like they all need to take a step, right? But like, is there maybe one guy that you're like, man, we really, what would be nice is if in October, we're all looking at each other like, man, this guy had a big offseason, has taken a big step. Is there one guy that rises up?
Yeah, I mean, they each individually bring something that is vital for us to be successful next year. I would say, though, the one guy is Lat Mayen. And the reason why I say that is when our offense is clicking, the position he plays is one that stands out because there's not many bigs that are like him that have the size at 6'9" that can be an elite shooter like he is. He really started shooting the ball with the confidence that we knew he could towards the end of the season.
Right.
And he had a rough, rough start. If you take away the start he had, I believe he started 1-for-15 in league play. You take that away, I mean, he was over a 43% shooter in conference play. You know, averaging just under 9 points per game, he's a kid that you would expect to easily be in the double digits next year. The other thing is he should be on the floor a lot more too, because he was put in positions where he did have to play the five position because Derek Walker missed the early part of the season. So with all those variables, I really do feel like he can have an absolutely tremendous year. The one thing that I'm really excited about, and of course we all are, most importantly Fred, is the guys were returning from a shooting standpoint. Shot the ball really, really well for us if you go through their percentages. And, you know, the guys that aren't returning, if you take away their statistics from shooting the ball, I mean, our team was – we were close to a 39% shooting team from three. And, you know, our best teams at Iowa State had that. You brought up the continuity pieces. You know, that's one thing where we talk about the transfer portal stuff and just the chaos that's created. You know, I've always kind of worked off chaos and roster turnover for my entire career. No team that I've been around and been a part of building has ever had this much scoring come back.
Right.
And that's exciting because in a culture that's being created as unstable, I feel like we have stability because when you take transfers, for the most part, they're not going to transfer again because there's layers of uncertainty when you do transfer a second time that you're going to have to go through a waiver process or however they set it up. So I've always felt when you take a transfer, there is stability that's created. And I know that sounds
bizarre. I never thought of that.
But that's how what I've always felt.
Well, you're kind of going there because I was going to ask you this at the end of the conversation, but the transfer rule and the fact that now guys can be eligible immediately for their first transfer, how does that impact you guys? Because it kind of felt like you were way ahead of the pack, like way ahead of the pack back in Iowa State with recruiting transfers. Now it's going to be – it's kind of been what everybody does, but even more so now. How do you kind of see that situation for you guys?
I mean, Nick, when one thing I'm really confident about is being involved with transfers and getting kids that fit and where it's at today, where the difficulty is of course the competitiveness at getting kid transfers is a lot higher than it was before.
Right.
You know, when we took it off at Iowa State, there was the usual suspects of schools that were involved with transfers that you just knew would always be there at the end. And today, every school in the country has to recruit them. But I will say that when you recruit transfers, it's a 365-day-a-year job.
Right.
It's not one that you can ever take a break. And why I say that is the nuts and bolts of recruiting transfers is information. You need to always have information and there's like a happiness meter, right? And you need to know who's happy and who's not.
Right.
And that doesn't mean, you know, people say, well, that's tampering. No, you're not talking to kids directly.
Right.
You know, is there people that do? I mean, maybe I'm sure there is, but you are talking to their club coach. You're talking to a high school coach and you're gathering information. And if you do your work early, you know, by the time a kid's in the portal, you already have a sense of where things are at, and you just don't waste your time. And, you know, you're efficient with the way you do things. And that's what I've always prided myself on, is doing that work early.
Right.
And, you know, having a group of kids where, you know, you can get involved with. But overall, yeah, of course, the competitiveness has made things a lot more challenging. Sure. But fortunately for me, reputation wise with transfers, and as, you know, me and Fred's reputation with transfers has really not interrupted anything that we're trying to do
clearly.
It comes to them.
Yeah, I mean, you guys are knocking it out of the park in that, on that front. How, before we get into specific, I want to go through these newcomers and get your 2 cents on them. How hard has it been, Matt, for you to recruit and evaluate without, A, being on the road and sitting in these AAU gyms or whatever and physically seeing these guys in front of you? And then also not being able to bring them on campus to get them to see how amazing the facilities in the city of Lincoln can be, because you know it is, like, there's a perception of Lincoln, and then I'm sure you get it all the time. They get here and they're like, oh, this is great. And yeah. Same thing with film. Film can film, you look at a player on film and then you see him in person, and their size, their quickness, their length, all that stuff can be totally different. How challenging has that been for you?
Well, I'll never take a kid off of film. Right. I don't believe evaluating off of film. The stakes are too high. I need to be in the gym. I need to see how he reacts when he goes to the bench. I need to see his interaction with the coaches and teammates. And you're not going to get that off of film. It's very similar to meeting with somebody, right?
Right.
Zoom is all good. But looking someone in the eye to really know what's going on, that's where it's at. And that's where the value of a relationship starts and manifests over time. You can't do that on film. And Nick, none of the kids that we brought in were based off of film. We were very fortunate to do our work early with these kids, where I've already watched them live prior to the pandemic starting, where you felt comfortable enough to take them. Wilhelm Breitenbach did his official visit, you know, that fall, that first fall we got to Nebraska, and he saw it firsthand, and that was a relationship that was built over time. Of course, Bryce McGowan's, I mean, I've known him since he's in the eighth grade, you know, seen him play live, you know, 50 plus times. So Keishay Tominaga, same thing. I mean, there was a relationship that was built a long time ago. But every single newcomer, that relationship started prior to COVID and really benefited us greatly. Because, for instance, Wilhelm, he had incredible options.
Right.
But he didn't visit those schools.
Right.
And that was a huge advantage for us, because him and his family, the information that they had on Nebraska was a lot more than any other program in the country that was recruiting him.
Right.
And that put us in a huge advantage. So, I firm believer about the whole watching kids online. You just truly don't get a feel. And in today's day and age, you really don't want to ever take a kid just to take him and then him be in the transfer portal 10 months later.
Right. No question about it. You drop some of those names. Let's go through a few of them here, because you got a consensus top 20 class. It's really an impressive group, especially when you add you add C.J. Wilcher and Keon Edwards to it as well. Let's talk about the guy that everyone's on there, you know, excited to see, and that's Bryce McGowan's. I mean, 5-star, 6'6" wing. I mean, holy crap! Like, you watch this dude play, it's pretty special. I mean, how special is he?
Yeah, I mean, I personally think he's unbelievably special. When you're talking about a modern day true wing that not only can dominate the college level but play at the next level, that is the prototype of who Bryce is in his game. Shoots the heck out of the ball, smooth stroke, unlimited range, really effortless. When it comes to his athleticism, it's elite. You know, it stands out. The whole McGowan's family's elite. They get it from the mom, not the dad. I always make fun of him that the mom is holding that up.
Yep.
He's as special of a talent as I've ever recruited. been fortunate enough to recruit a lot of high-level players, but there's something about him where he's got a chip on his shoulder. Even though he's highly ranked, there's a level of being hungry to prove people wrong. And the thing that separates him, though, is I just tweeted this out the other day because it was his brother Trey's 21st birthday. What makes the McGowan's kids so special is they were brought up as just work hard. Everything else will just fall into place. No one can ever take away your work ethic. And that speaks volume in today's day and age, because not a lot of kids, especially kids that have that fifth star, there is a distinct difference, and you know this,
yeah,
when a kid gets the fifth star versus a four star. And there's a lot of layers to that, but there's a distinct difference.
Yes.
And with that being said, not to say that when you get the fifth star, you kind of just say, okay, my job is done, I don't have to work anymore. He's used it as motivation that I'm ranked where I'm ranked. I don't belong there. I belong in the top five category, because that's how I feel. I play these kids. I know what I'm capable of. And what makes it really cool is he has put it on him that he knows there's going to be a lot of eyes on him, and he is all about trying to do something special at Nebraska.
Yeah.
And he's very excited about trying to make history in a place that just doesn't have the history and tradition,
yep,
like the programs that were recruiting him. That's really cool.
Yeah, it
can't
is.
Can't go unnoticed that a kid at that age is really excited about doing something special where, you know, someday when he comes back to PBA, there's a standing ovation out of respect because of what he did here.
God, it's exciting. I can't wait to watch this dude next year. It's going to be fun. The Nick Bob Podcast is brought to you by my good friends at Runza. Everybody that knows my athletic background, you know, as a quarterback in high school, but you know, I believe in establishing the run game. And even more than that, I believe in establishing the Runza game. That's an original Runza cheeseburger, some onion rings, double dipped in a homemade batter, little bit of a pop to top it off. You know, in football, you establish a run. But at lunch, you establish the Runza. It's just that simple. So get out to Runza today and establish the Runza game, or check out the delicious salads. You got the chicken bacon ranch salad, sweet berry chicken salad, and my personal favorite, the Southwest chicken salad. You got to get out to Runza, establish a Runza game, or get a salad. Either way, you are going to leave satisfied. Runza makes it all better. What about the Japanese Steph Curry, Tominaga?
Yeah.
I mean, is the nickname appropriate? Give it to me.
Yeah, you know what, man? Like, I've been fortunate enough to work for two head coaches that made money shooting the basketball, Chris Mullin,
yep,
Hall of Famer, and clearly Fred. And I started the process of recruiting and building a relationship with K'Shea at St. John's. And I remember when I showed the film to Chris Mullin, and he was in awe. And I continued to show more and more film on him. His national team coach was the one that reached out to me and said, I have to do this because he is the best shooter that I've ever seen since Chris Mullin.
Mm.
And this is an older guy that's been around the block, professional coach at all kinds of levels, and currently the national team coach for Japan. And I will say that I hate to do the comparison game because it's unfair.
Sure.
But, man, can he shoot the ball. You're talking about range that you have to guard him right when he hits half court. And I know that sounds crazy, but it's legit. I mean, he has that type of range and effectiveness. And the thing that separates him, he played year one at Ranger College for Billy Gillespie. Billy Gillespie,
yeah,
is an acclaimed coach.
Yes.
And where Billy Gillespie has always had success is toughness and defense. And he always told me, Matt, his strongest asset of a player, as a player, his shooting ability is elite. It's his toughness.
Right.
And that, to me, always spoke volumes. Because, listen, do you have reservations? He is smaller. You know, athletically, can he play at this level? And Billy Gillespie says, hands down, athleticism is above average, better than you would think, and his overall toughness and willingness to guard really separates him. And coming from him, you have to respect that and,
right,
and take it for where it's coming from. And very excited about him. He had an absolutely incredible national tournament where he really carried his team every second half of every game and put on a show. He's a guy that just draws attention. He might not necessarily be the guy that goes off, because he's going to draw the attention
exactly.
on the scouting report.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, create space for Trey and Bryce and Delano to get downhill, because you're not stepping off that dude. You know what I mean?
Exactly. I mean, no doubt.
It's, they impact everything. What about Breidenbach? You brought up that he had visited early. He had a lot of options. Pretty highly touted dude. He's a 4-star, 6'9" kid. Yeah. I mean, what's his game like?
He is the closest thing that I've been around that can translate to being a kid we had at Iowa State, George Niang.
Okay.
And why I say that is George's offensive ability is elite, which is why he has stuck in the league, and his IQ and just overall feel. But what made George special is his passing ability. And that's Wilhelm's strongest ability as a player, is his passing ability. And his overall skill set translates so perfectly to Fred's system that there is a lot of excitement to have a player like him, because we don't have one like him where there is a legitimate opportunity for him to bring the ball up, initiate the offense, use him on the perimeter, use him on the block. He's a right-handed player. If you watch him, you think he's a lefty. His left hand is so effective. He's got an old school type game to him where he shoots that like push hook shot.
Yeah.
It seems like from the 3-point line, even though it's probably from like 10 feet out, but you know, those are shots that you saw Kevin McHale take. You don't
right.
see that in today's day and age.
Right.
We had a guy when I was with the T-Wolves with Fred, Al Jefferson, who had this push shot off the palm of his hand that he had such beautiful touch from like 18 feet in. And that's where I see Wilhelm, is just his touch, his feel, the IQ, knowing this offense, playing five out just fits so perfectly. So very, very excited
yeah.
about him. And, you know, listen, I'm not the type to hype somebody up. It's not who I am. I try and call it how it is. I mean, the sense that I have in my voice is excitement, because these are players that
sure.
really do truly fit what we're trying to do and build that translates to success for us.
What about the other, the 7-foot Lithuanian kid, Oleg?
Yep.
I mean, tell me about him. And usually the foreign bigs are super skilled, can maybe step out and shoot it. Is that what he's like? What's he like?
Yeah. You know, listen, very skilled. You know, 2 years ago, 18 months ago, he played in an event overseas where there were scouts, and there was an article written about him that if he was in the States, he'd be a top 50 overall player. He's got the talent from the physical standpoint. Listen, it's always a major adjustment
yep.
for any European to walk in to a level like the Big Ten and not expect that there's going to be some type of physicality that you're going to have to gain over the course of the offseason. And that's the biggest thing for Oleg is, you know, from June to November, gaining weight as much as possible, getting stronger as much as possible. But there's no doubt, I mean, you can't teach 7 feet. He can move.
Yeah.
You can't teach that at 7 feet when you can move as fluid as he does. And just overall feel IQ, he can step out, knock down the three. So there is excitement about him. And, you know, we'll also understand and realistic that it could take some time.
Sure. What about you had a late addition, McPherson, who's a 6'3"
yeah.
kid from Missouri. Is he more of a point guard?
Yeah, I mean, I've known him for a while. His game is the old school, tough New York City guard
gotcha.
That you find on the playground that you do not want him to guard you.
Right.
He is a kid that is not going to back down from Trey McGowan's or Delano Banton or Bryce McGowan's or CJ Wiltshire. He's going to make them so much better. And it is going to be a difficult decision night in and night out, because the intangibles he's going to bring from day one are certainly not only going to help us internally preparing for games, but also helping us actually win games. And he is an older kid because he did a prep year, and he's a kid that fell victim to the COVID
yeah.
restrictions and shutdown of not really being recruited, because he did have high majors on him prior to the shutdown. To me, he's the type of kid that wants to work, He's going to do his part. And I really do think his upside's absolutely tremendous. And, you know, he's really excited about learning from Fred and becoming a better knockdown shooter. His mechanics are good right now, but definitely can be elevated to being a lot better of a shooter. And, but just toughness. Certainly a guy you can also, in emergency situations you brought up, play on the ball where he can facilitate and initiate the offense.
We'll talk about the two transfers. Get you out of here, Matt. CJ Wilcher, the from Xavier. Yeah. I got to see CJ play a few times because of covering the Big East. And, you know, I mean, when he came in, it's just like super confident, right? Yeah. Like super confident guy. And, you know, he was the type of dude that maybe would get spot minutes, but would come in 60 seconds hit back-to-back threes. You know,
yeah,
and that's
exactly.
that's not easy. Like, is what I saw, what I'm going to get at Nebraska, like a super confident kid that is capable of shooting the rock?
Yeah, he's really, really talented. You know, when you get a transfer as a fan, you just Google a kid's name and see what he did in games, and he did not play the minutes that could support on how really good and talented of a player he is. His work ethic's ridiculous. He's an elite shooter, another unlimited range type guy. He has sneaky athleticism. His body is tremendous, fits the league perfectly, Big Ten. You're talking about somebody that fits perfectly. He's got a chip on his shoulder, you know, like a lot of these transfers do coming in here, you know, former top 100 player coming out of high school. But yeah, he's a kid, leadership skills because of his work ethic and who he is as a person. Overly excited because I think that kid has a chance to be a highly impactful player for us.
What about Keon Edwards, 6'7" DePaul transfer? I'm trying to remember, you know, and I did a couple of DePaul games and talking to Coach Lato.
Yeah, you wouldn't have seen him.
Yeah.
He really didn't play.
Right.
So,
lay out the story for him because he's got an interesting journey.
Because of COVID, the easy thing to do was panic, especially if you weren't in a position to be a recruitable athlete. And he had his list of schools, and clearly it was a great list of schools, and he could enroll at DePaul at mid-year because he already met all his eligibility requirements. So he gets there in January, and you know this because you cover the league. DePaul got hit by COVID.
Crushed.
More than anyone in the Big East.
Yes.
With just play two games, get shut down. Play three games, get shut down. Then it seemed like it was a repetitive thing throughout the year for them. So he gets to DePaul, and there's a shutdown immediately. Then the shutdown gets lifted. Then he gets COVID.
Right.
So that's 4 weeks that are just literally wasted where he could have potentially been working out, adjusting, learning the offense, learning the philosophies at DePaul. That didn't happen. So because of that, it's already February. There's only 5 weeks left. Yeah, he hardly even played. Now you're talking about talent.
Yes.
Absolute phenomenal talent. When we're talking about a former top 40 player at a high school, if he would have just stayed in the 21 class, he would have been a top 40 player.
Right.
And with his decision to go early, kind of the ranking gets screwed up and gets thrown out. But you're talking about another elite shooter. His skill set, his stroke is beautiful. Athleticism's there. Playing in the up-tempo style. I mean, just envision him running the wing and beating the guy down the floor and having wide open corner threes and shooting at a high clip. Another elite character kid that's about the right stuff. You know, is another ISO type player that's going to be able to beat his defender off the dribble. So yeah, a lot of excitement, you know, with the two transfers, just adding the shooting that we're adding, with this system. You can never have enough of it.
We'll get you out of here on this. As a New York guy, do you got New York Knicks fever right now? Four
oh,
seed in the
man.
East, Tony hosting Atlanta. Let's go.
I told my wife whenever the time gets announced, that Sunday, I'm not sure for the first couple minutes I'll actually be able to watch the game because there's going to be so much emotion. As big of a Mets and Giants fan as I am, the Knicks in the 90s, I was fortunate enough to go to so many of those big time games and moments at the Garden where it's going to be emotional. It's emotional for Knicks fans. Like, it's been a long time. It's a beaten up fan base. And to be able to go out there on Sunday and have a series where, you know, we have a shot to win.
Absolutely.
And go and play the Sixers, which, you know, that's a dream come true, just to have a chance to mess with them and make life difficult. Yeah, I mean, it's big time. The NBA is better when the Knicks are good.
100%. 100%.
The NBA, I don't even know when the last time the Celtics, the Knicks, and the Lakers were all in the playoffs.
Right.
Long, long time. Right. The NBA needs the Knicks to be relevant. It's great for the league. I know the Garden's going to be rocking. I think they're increasing. Seems like they're conveniently increasing the attendance as every day goes by.
Right.
And realizes, you know, because listen, man, you know this covering the Big East. There is not a place more special than a sold out Madison Square Garden.
Nope.
There just isn't. Nope. And I'll always be biased. But there just isn't. There's an appreciation for basketball that happens in that gym that is unlike any place in the country. And, you know, Knicks fans, there's a lot of pent up frustration. Most specifically, I mean, Spike Lee, I'm sure he's not even able to sleep throughout this entire week, because I don't think there's a more committed fan than him sitting there through all these bad years. So, yeah, man, long answer, but the excitement you can hear, it's
I love
big
it.
Time.
Well, hey, I know you're excited, but I'll get you out of here with a stat that'll make you feel better. In three games against Atlanta this year, Julius Randle averaged 37 points per game and 12 rebounds per game.
There you go.
What
he's done,
man,
this year, I mean, because personally, I don't know how you feel. I never saw this in Julius Randle.
No.
And he is a franchise. And the thing is, you know, sometimes like Linsanity, right? It was like 2 weeks of just crazy statistics. Dude, Julius Randle, night in, night out, put up crazy numbers.
Right.
And to say that he was an MVP candidate, he's a top three MVP candidate.
Yes, right.
In the league.
It's crazy.
So there's a lot of excitement. I don't want to look at the offseason because that's where the Knicks have screwed up tremendously in the last two decades. I'm just going to focus on the fact that there's a playoff game at Madison Square Garden Sunday. Whatever happens this offseason. Because we got to live in the moment. We don't know when the next moment will happen.
I love it. Matt Abdelmassi. Matt, hey, man, really appreciate your time. Really appreciate
your
insight. I know these Husker Hoops fans are going to love listening to this. This was great, my man. Thank you.
Thanks, Nick. Take care, man.
All right, Matt. All right, my thanks to Pella. If you're thinking about a new window or a new door, now is the time. Check them out online on the web at PellaOmaha.com. That's PellaOmaha.com. And my thanks to my good friends at Runza. Best fries on the planet. Great burgers. Cheese Runza. Delicious. The food is simply fantastic. Runza makes it all better.
A Huda Media Production.